It was something that was needed. One more time, it's the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible coming to you from Riverside, California. Podcasting since 2004, my name is Steve Webb and I'm your OG Godcaster. It's the Law Monday and we'll complete the book of Numbers with chapters 33 through 36. The website is lifespringmedia.com and I'll have contact information at the end of the show. Before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for our time together. We pray, Lord, that you would touch our minds, touch our hearts, and teach us something that we can use today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, are you ready? Let's begin. Numbers chapter 33. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies, under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their starting points. They departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month. On the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them. Also on their gods the Lord had executed judgment. Then the children of Israel moved from Ramesses and camped at Succoth. They departed from Succoth and camped at Etham, which is on the edge of the wilderness. They moved from Etham and turned back to Pi-Hahiroth, which is east of Baal-Zephon, and they camped near Migdol. They departed from before Hahiroth and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness, went 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Etham, and camped at Merah. They moved from Merah and came to Elim. At Elim were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there. They moved from Elim and camped by the Red Sea. They moved from the Red Sea and camped by the wilderness of Zin. They journeyed from the wilderness of Zin and camped at Dophkah. They departed from Dophkah and camped at Elish. They moved from Elish and camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. They departed from Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai. They moved from the wilderness of Sinai and camped at Kibroth Hataavah. They departed from Kibroth Hataavah and camped at Hazeroth. They departed from Hazeroth and camped at Rithmah. They departed from Rithmah and camped at Rimmon Perez. They departed from Rimmon Perez and camped at Libna. They moved from Libna and camped at Rissa. They journeyed from Rissa and camped at Kehelatha. They went from Kehelatha and camped at Mount Shefer. They moved from Mount Shefer and camped at Hareda. They moved from Hareda and camped at Machiloth. They moved from Machiloth and camped at Tahath. They departed from Tahath and camped at Terah. They moved from Terah and camped at Mithkah. They went from Mithkah and camped at Hashmona. They departed from Hashmona and camped at Mosirath. They departed from Mosirath and camped at Beni-Jaakan. They moved from Beni-Jaakan and camped at Hor-Hagidgad. They went from Hor-Hagidgad and camped at Jotbatha. They moved from Jotbatha and camped at Abrona. They departed from Abrona and camped at Ezion-Geber. They moved from Ezion-Geber and camped in the wilderness of Zin, which is Kadesh. They moved from Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor, on the boundary of the land of Edom. Then Aaron the priest went up to Mount Hor at the command of the Lord, and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, on the first day of the fifth month. Aaron was 123 years old when he died on Mount Hor. Now the king of Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south in the land of Canaan, heard of the coming of the children of Israel. So they departed from Mount Hor and camped at Zalmona. They departed from Zalmona and camped at Punon. They departed from Punon and camped at Oboth. They departed from Oboth and camped at Ijah-Abarim at the border of Moab. They departed from Ijah and camped at Dibon-Gad. They moved from Dibon-Gad and camped at Almon-Diblathaim. They moved from Almon-Diblathaim and camped in the mountains of Abarim before Nebo. They departed from the mountains of Abarim and camped in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. They camped by the Jordan from Beth Jeshimoth as far as the Abel Acacia Grove in the plains of Moab. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, When you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance. There everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. Numbers chapter 34. The Lord told Moses to tell the people of Israel that their land in Canaan would have the following borders. The southern border will be the Zin Desert and the northwest part of Edom. This border will begin at the south end of the Dead Sea. It will go west from there, but will turn southward to include Scorpion Pass, the village of Zin, and the town of Kadesh Barnea. From there, the border will continue to Hazer Adar and on to Asmon. It will run along the Egyptian Gorge and end at the Mediterranean Sea. The western border will be the Mediterranean Sea. The northern border will begin at the Mediterranean, then continue eastward to Mount Hor. After that, it will run to Lebo Hamath and across to Zedad, which is the northern edge of your land. From Zedad, the border will continue east to Ziphron and end at Hazer Enan. The eastern border will begin at Hazer Enan in the north, then run south to Shepham and on down to Riblah on the east side of Ain. From there, it will go south to the eastern hills of Lake Galilee, then follow the Jordan River down to the north end of the Dead Sea. The land within those four borders will belong to you. Then Moses told the people, You will receive the land inside these borders. It will be yours. But the Lord has commanded you to divide it among the 9.5 tribes. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh have already been given their land across from Jericho, east of the Jordan River. The Lord said to Moses, Eleazar the priest and Joshua son of Nun will divide the land for the Israelites. One leader from each tribe will help them, and here is the list of their names. Caleb son of Jephunneh from Judah, Shemuel son of Ammihud from Simeon, Eliadad son of Kislon from Benjamin, Buckeye son of Joglai from Dan, Haniel son of Ephod from Manasseh, Kemuel son of Shiftan from Ephraim, Elizaphan, son of Parnak, from Zebulun, Paltiel, son of Azan, from Issachar, Ahihud, son of Shalomai, from Asher, and Petahel, son of Ammihud, from Naphtali. These are the men the Lord commanded to help Eleazar and Joshua divide the land for the Israelites. Numbers chapter 35. On the plains of Moab, by the Jordan, across from Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, Command the Israelites to give the Levites towns to live in from the inheritance the Israelites will possess, and give them pasture lands around the towns. Then they will have towns to live in and pasture lands for the cattle they own and all their other animals. The pasture lands around the towns that you give the Levites will extend 1,000 cubits from the town wall. Outside the town, measure 2,000 cubits on the east side, 2,000 on the south side, 2,000 on the west, and 2,000 on the north, with the town in the center. They will have this area as pasture land for the towns. 6 of the towns you give the Levites will be cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone may flee. In addition, give them 42 other towns. In all, you must give the Levites 48 towns, together with their pasture lands. The towns you give the Levites from the land the Israelites possess are to be given in proportion to the inheritance of each tribe. Take many towns from a tribe that has many, but few from one that has few. Then the Lord said to Moses, Speak to the Israelites and say to them, When you cross the Jordan into Canaan, Select some towns to be your cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone accidentally may flee. They will be places of refuge from the avenger, so that anyone accused of murder may not die before they stand trial before the assembly. These 6 towns you give will be your cities of refuge. Give 3 on this side of the Jordan, and 3 in Canaan as cities of refuge. These 6 towns will be a place of refuge for Israelites and for foreigners residing among them, so that anyone who has killed another accidentally can flee there. If anyone strikes someone a fatal blow with an iron object, that person is a murderer. The murderer is to be put to death. Or if anyone is holding a stone and strikes someone a fatal blow with it, that person is a murderer. The murderer is to be put to death. Or if anyone is holding a wooden object and strikes someone a fatal blow with it, that person is a murderer. The murderer is to be put to death. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death. When the avenger comes upon the murderer, the avenger shall put the murderer to death. If anyone with malice aforethought shoves another, or throws something at them intentionally so that they die, or if out of enmity one person hits another with their fist so that the other dies, that person is to be put to death. That person is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when they meet. But if without enmity someone suddenly pushes another or throws something at them unintentionally or, without seeing them, drops on them a stone heavy enough to kill them and they die, then since that other person was not an enemy and no harm was intended, the assembly must judge between the accused and the avenger of blood according to these regulations. The assembly must protect the one accused of murder from the avenger of blood and send the accused back to the city of refuge to which they fled. The accused must stay there until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the holy oil. But if the accused ever goes outside the limits of the city of refuge to which they fled, and the avenger of blood finds them outside the city, the avenger of blood may kill the accused without being guilty of murder. The accused must stay in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. Only after the death of the high priest may they return to their own property. This is to have the force of law for you throughout the generations to come, wherever you live. Anyone who kills a person is to be put to death as a murderer only on the testimony of witnesses. But no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Do not accept a ransom for the life of a murderer who deserves to die. They are to be put to death. Do not accept a ransom for anyone who has fled to a city of refuge, and so allow them to go back and live on their own land before the death of the high priest. Do not pollute the land where you are. Bloodshed pollutes the land, and atonement cannot be made for the land on which blood has been shed, except by the blood of the one who shed it. Do not defile the land where you live and where I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the Israelites. Numbers chapter 36. Then the heads of the clans of Gilead, descendants of Machir, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph, came to Moses and the family leaders of Israel with a petition. They said, "Sir, the Lord instructed you to divide the land by sacred lot among the people of Israel. You were told by the Lord to give the grant of land owned by our brother Zelophehad to his daughters. But if they marry men from another tribe, their grants of land will go with them to the tribe into which they marry. In this way, the total area of our tribal land will be reduced. Then, when the year of Jubilee comes, their portion of the land will be added to that of the new tribe, causing it to be lost forever to our ancestral tribe." So Moses gave the Israelites this command from the Lord: "The claim of the men of the tribe of Joseph is legitimate. This is what the Lord commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad. Let them marry anyone they like, as long as it is within their own ancestral tribe. None of the territorial land may pass from tribe to tribe, for all the land given to each tribe must remain within the tribe to which it was first allotted. The daughters throughout the tribes of Israel, who are in line to inherit property, must marry within their tribe, so that all the Israelites will keep their ancestral property. No grant of land may pass from one tribe to another. Each tribe of Israel must keep its allotted portion of land." The daughters of Zelophehad did as the Lord commanded Moses. Mahla, Tirzah, Hogla, Milcah, and Noah all married cousins on their father's side. They married into the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. Thus, their inheritance of land remained within their ancestral tribe. These are the commands and regulations that the Lord gave to the people of Israel through Moses while they were camped on the plains of Moab beside the Jordan River across from Jericho. In chapter 35 of Numbers, we heard about something that to our 21st century Western culture minds sounded kind of foreign, the concept of cities of refuge. But in the culture of Israel, when these words were written, it was something that was needed. Each family group had an avenger who would carry out the Genesis 9:6 proclamation, which says, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God, God made man." Well, here in Numbers 35, a detailed plan was shown that dealt with the situation where a person committed a killing that was accidental and not premeditated murder, and where they could find a place of safety from that family avenger. I don't need to review the details of the plan here because we just heard them, but what I want to do is show how this concept of the refuge cities is a foreshadowing or type of Jesus. First, there are many scriptures that refer to God as being our refuge. Here's a few. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Psalm 91:2, "I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and my horn of salvation, my stronghold." And one from the New Testament, Hebrews 6:18, "That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us." So where do we flee for refuge? To Jesus. Cities of refuge were located throughout Israel so that those who needed refuge would be able to easily make their way to them. And Jesus is only a prayer away. Cities of refuge were open to anyone, not just the Jew, but to all. Jesus came that anyone who asks will find salvation. Cities of refuge were places where the one in need could live permanently. A relationship with Jesus is eternal. Cities of refuge were the only place a person could find safety. Without them, death was sure. And only in Jesus do we find eternal life. Outside of the cities of refuge, there was no protection. Outside of Jesus, there's no salvation. Only when the high priest died was the person freed from the threat of death by the avenger. Jesus, our high priest, died on a cross to bring our freedom. And there's one huge difference between cities of refuge and Jesus. You had to be innocent to live in a city of refuge. Jesus accepts the guilty and removes all guilt and sin. Beloved, that is cause to sing hallelujah and say amen. Jesus is the only way to freedom, to peace, to live with the assurance that we will never have to pay the penalty for our transgressions if we have confessed our need of Him and invited Him to be our Savior and accepted His gift of salvation. Jesus is our refuge. Do you have comments or questions? I'd like to hear them. Contact information is at the end of the show. Tomorrow will be History Tuesday, and we'll read 2 Chronicles 16 through 20. Scott Snyder donated $432.67 today, making him this episode's executive producer. I'm sure those numbers mean something, but I can't decipher it. My goodness, Scott, thank you so very much, brother. God bless you. Scott creates a lot of our art for the show, which takes both time and talent, and he's hit the trifecta today with his donation. I appreciate you so much, Scott. Thank you. And let me just say that I'm so thankful for the generous value-for-value donations of so many people who share time, talent, or treasure to make it possible for me to bring the LifeSpring One-Year Bible to you each day. It's true. Without your help, it would not be possible for me to do this show. So thanks to each of you who have given in one way or another. You truly are partnering with me to produce this show, and you have my gratitude, and the gratitude of, by the way, the lovely Lady Leanne. LifeSpringMedia.com/support. I see you.
watching over me every day another way that I can see your love, and I see you looking out for me. All I want to do is thank you.
That's a little snippet of my friend Brian Duncan's track, I See You, from his Conversations project. I'll play the entire track at the end of the show. We've been praying for Brian's wife, Cassie, for some time now, and I recently shared with you that she had a successful surgery for trigeminal neuralgia. Brian talked about it on his podcast, Nutshell Sermons, this past Thursday and Saturday, and I really encourage you to listen to those episodes. The Thursday show is called Born Again, Again, and it's about 11 minutes long. Saturday's episode is called Listening to My Wife for Once, and it's about 25 minutes long. In that episode, you'll hear Brian and Cassie talking about her four-year ordeal of dealing with pain and the struggle she had with questioning why God didn't heal her and even trying to maintain the will to live at one point. Here's a brief excerpt.
I thought I was going to die. I remember laying on that bed in the hospital thinking, wow, this is it. And it wasn't so much that I was scared to die, which I was a little bit, because I didn't want to leave my grandbabies. I didn't want to leave my daughters, my husband, my friends. You know, I wanted to be around for a while. And I'm not scared of just don't want to be there yet.
I didn't know we were going to go now.
Yeah, I was scared. And I was trying to hide it from Brian, but he saw right through me.
Yep. Well, both of those episodes are well worth listening to, like I said, especially since you've heard me talk about her so often. I'll have links on the show notes page at lifespringmedia.com/S13E262, or you can just search for Nutshell Sermons in your podcast app. I would love to hear from you. If you have a comment, a question, a prayer request, or a praise report, here's how to reach me. To leave a voice message, call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511. Or for prayer requests, you can go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. And for comments or questions, go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. And of course, boostergrams are always welcome, as are emails at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Thanks to Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Scott Snyder, Jason Pascal, and Sister Brittany for their donations of time and talent. Today's show art is by Scott Snyder, and thank you for that, Scott, and for being today's executive producer. And thank you, beloved, for spending some of your day with me. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Hang on for Brian Duncan and I See You.
I see you watching over me every day another way that I can see your love, and I see you looking out for me. All I want to do is thank you.
Under a bridge or up on a mountain, see you in everything like stars I'm counting. The streets of gold or just mud and gravel, you're always with me on this road I travel. Straight and narrow, goes up and down, and don't leave a place for me to turn around in. And I can make it cause you're waving me through, yeah. I see the signs that I do, and I do find you.
I see you watching over me, and every day another way that I can see your love. And I see you looking out for me. All I want to do is thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
That's right. Help I can use or none to speak of. No way I'm gonna lose. I trust in your love. Whatever comes, I'd rather face.